And some people like to rip on it because of their taste. Well, there's no accounting for taste. It is a work of art. And beautiful in that sense. It's not meant to be your, to replace your rock and roll. If you want something to replace your rock and roll or your whatever it is you happen to love, you need to look elsewhere. But to me, it is honor. But there you go. And it also could be dishonor. If they don't find it pleasing because it's not like the world, well, maybe that commends my work to God and to you. And again, I'm sorry for comparing myself in it, but I think it's important. I'm the only one, as I read the book, it's like a mirror. And so I try to reflect it back to you with my understanding. And my understanding is going to come through my life experience and me. What I've had by the Spirit of God, the things that have been to me. Evil report and good report. Sometimes people speak evil of you. And sometimes that actually commends us to God, or commends us as ministers of God. I keep saying to God, but I mean, it commends us as ministers of God. It shows we are ministers. Proves it. They speak evil of us, though we do good. And also good reports. Good reports from good people. Evil reports from evil people. When the wicked rip on you. I say, when I go through, if you go to my website and you go to the Shepherd's Chapel page, you will see a series of emails written to me. And I look at it, and this is a perfect example. Some of them are just, you don't even have to read the email. You can just read the titles of the negative reports against me. Personally, many of them. And it commends me. And I look at it and I say, I get more pleasure out of those negative reports than I do out of the positive ones. Maybe it seems like more because it's probably equal, I really, really say. It probably is equal. But it feels like more because it's so odd. It's supposed to upset me and make me feel angry, but it really doesn't. I get quite a kick out of it. Although, especially when they give way to cursing and so on and so forth. As deceivers, yet true. Hey, people tell that to me all the time, Paul. You are turning people from the truth. You are doing this, you are doing that, but it's not true. I'm turning people from deceit unto truth, not from truth unto deceit. I mean, but they say, what's your agenda? What do you want, Paul? What are you trying to do? You always talk about yourself. That's what you're really about. You just want to build up your ministry. Well, in as much as my ministry is superior to other ministries, maybe it's right. What I want is to help you so that you would not receive the grace of God in vain, that you might obtain and believe, well, believe, quote, and then obtain the promises of God by his exceeding power, whereby you might be partakers of the divine nature, to go from faith to temperance and knowledge and godliness and righteousness and brotherly kindness and all the things which the grace of God brings. I want you to have that. I want you to have the armor of God on your right and your left. And I want you to be able to minister the same to others. But it won't happen by these teachers who stroke your ears with itching tails and stroke your itching ears with tales of the fantastical, tales of things that will not profit you in righteousness, but only embroil you in fables and in things that are not conducive to salvation. They don't save you. What's the point? So that's my agenda. And I want to bring down everything that is against that. I used to joke, and it was somewhat true. When I started with my music and stuff, what was your purpose, Paul? Why do you do the music? I want to bring down the Christian music industry. I want to bring it down. I want to bring it all down and burn it all down. I want to bring down false ministers. I want to see them all, their palaces burned to the ground. I want to bring down those who rob people and with feigned words and feigned love seduce them. I want to see their ministries burned to the ground. I do. Yeah, so I got an agenda. I want to bring them down. So have a hearty laugh. Have a hearty laugh at such a pathetic ministry. And maybe the Lord will hear and help. All right, a good Azusa, true as unknown, yet well known. There's a lot of ways you could take that idea, you know. Being there, I love that, as unknown yet well known. You could take it in the sense of that very few people know you, like they've never even heard of your name. But those who do know you very well. Or you could say, unknown to the world, well known to God. Unknown to, you know. But you could also say it in the sense of like, Paul, a lot of people knew his name and knew who he was, but they didn't know him. They didn't know him. He was famous, yet infamous. Not infamous, that's not a good word because that usually has a negative. I mean, he was famous, yet a mystery. They didn't really know what he, you know, what will this babbler say? You know, so there's a sense of which, you know, you could say either, there's other ways you could look at that. This, you can have a lot of fun with these comparisons and these little opposites and thinking about them in different ways. And there's no, I don't think there's like one right way to do it particularly. It's just meant to provoke thoughts. And I don't know precisely what he was thinking, but here we have it. Sometimes we can only guess at what exactly was intended. And it's fine, because both are true. You know, Paul, sometimes the prophets wrote things that had two meanings, and when they wrote it, they maybe didn't understand that it had two meanings. You know, but we also want to be careful not to be, handle the word of God deceitfully. Right? And I know you know I'm not doing that. As dying, behold, we live. You know, it goes back to that, the outward man dying.